Now, looking to asthma, one of the late-breaking abstracts was presented by Dr. Michael Weschler from the National Jewish Cohen Family Asthma Institute in Denver, the United States. So he presented the data from the Liberty Asthma Traverse trial, and the majority of the participants in this trial, which was a total of 2,282, came from four of the parent trials that had previously included cohorts. So those were the Quest, the Phase 3 Quest trial, the Phase 2b DRI trial, the Expedition trial, and the Phase 3 Venture trial. So this was basically an open-label extension study with asthma patients that had been enrolled in these previous studies, and it looked at dupilumab treatment on patients with uncontrolled moderate to severe asthma and whether it had a good safety profile and maintained efficacy over 96 weeks. All patients were treated with add-on 300 milligrams of dupilumab every second week. Due to an amendment in the study design, 96% of the patients, almost all of them, received therapy over 48 weeks, and just over half, 54%, received therapy up to 96 weeks of the long-term extension phase of this trial. The current presentation presented by Dr. Weschler included the data from the DRI Quest and Venture cohorts for the safety findings and efficacy data in the non-corticosteroid-dependent patients from the DRI and Quest trials. The primary endpoint was the rate of patients with any kind of treatment emergent adverse event with a frequency of 10% or greater up to week 96. Among the secondary endpoints were the annualized severe exacerbation rate and forced expiratory volume over 1 second. So Dr. Weschler said the dupilumab safety profile of the open-label extension was consistent with that in the previously published shorter duration patient studies, and no safety signals were identified, end quote. Any kind of treatment emergent adverse event was in 76.3% of the patients, and among the most common was nasopharyngitis, which was 17.5% or up to nearly 26%, bronchitis, injection site erythema, and the serious adverse events happened in 9.3% to 12.6% of the participants. 2.3% to 5.6% of the adverse events led to permanent discontinuation of dupilumab. And as for exacerbations within the open label phase, the unadjusted annualized severe exacerbation rate, it ranged between 0.31 to 0.35 in the patients that were not taking corticosteroids. The corresponding values for dupilumab treated patients at the end of the DRI and Quest cohorts was 0.31 to 0.69 and 0.48 to 0.56 respectively. In the parent studies, DRI and Quest, the baseline values for the forced expiratory rate was 1.79 to 1.86 liters. And quote Dr. Weschler, by week 96 of the open label extension, the absolute mean FEV1 was ranged from 2.02 to 2.12 liters, representing a 13 to 22% mean change from the parent study baseline to the overall population. So the conclusion was that the long-term treatment with dupilumab was generally well-tolerated, and patients exposed to dupilumab for up to 96 weeks demonstrated maintenance in the clinical efficacy that was observed in the parent studies, including a persistently low exacerbation rate and sustained improvements in lung function.